Our study this afternoon will be taking up the subject of encouragement, finishing up chapter 7 of David Murray's book called Happy Praise. I want to elaborate just a little bit more on something I said last week. I was talking about the root meaning of the word encouragement. I wanted to draw out just one other thing. The word that is used could be defined to strengthen or to call up, call alongside. And I gave the sports analogy of somebody urging you on. It's your turn. You're up to bat. What I failed to do, though, is I meant to take one more step and to say that that the word has more connections than that. The Greek word, you might, if you hear the Greek word, you might make some connections. The Greek word is parakaleo. And sometimes if you hear a word like that, you might think of derivatives that come from that. We have a name for the Holy Spirit. This is RP game show time. So what name of the Holy Spirit comes from parakaleo?
Paraclete.
There you go. Good. The paraclete. And that's a word we don't use very often. It means an advocate, someone who comes alongside to help. And this is part of why encouragement is to act like God. That's what God, it's one of the roles that God has. As the Holy Spirit, He is the paraclete who comes along beside us to help us. Jesus is also called the paraclete, but it's not translated that way usually. It's translated as advocate. So if someone would look up 1 John 2, verse 1, and read that for us, we'll hear about Jesus, our advocate. 1 John 2, verse 1.
My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
There is that word again, parakaleo, only given in a noun form and translated here, advocate. So he is one who comes alongside and advocates for us. In this case, he stands and claims justification for us because of the life that he has given. So there's a very rich background and meaning to the word encouragement that is part of what we practice in our relationships to one another. You are like God, you are like Christ when you come alongside someone else to build them up and to encourage them. We looked a lot at the theology last week. I'd like to think more practically this week. And I'll start with a point that David Murray makes, that encouragers are disciplined. And this is the last of his 10 different aspects that I mentioned last week, aspects of encouragers. And he says that encouragers are disciplined. It is true that in the Christian life that there are a variety of gifts, and in fact some people seem to be natural encouragers. We have one given to us in the Bible who is named even an encourager. And here's another question for the RP game show. Who is the one who is the son of encouragement? Hannah? Barnabas, that's right. His word means the son of encouragement. And it seems that Barnabas is well known as one who was an encourager and is recognized as doing that. So you might hear that and say, well, I'm no Barnabas. I'm not gifted to be an encourager. I'm gifted to be a discourager. I'm gifted to be...
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't going to say it for the record. There are a number of heads that were turning in a certain direction. That, let me pause the record and not to... No. You may think you're disposed to be the discourager or be the realist or whatever you want to call it, but like all Christian graces, we all must exercise these gifts. For some it's easier than others. And we're going to talk about how reality and constructive criticism can also be done in encouragement, but we'll get to that in a moment. It is a Christian grace. It is a God-like activity, and as such, something that every believer ought to exercise to one extent or another. And it's... it may seem like an easy decision to say, well, I'm not gifted in that area, so I'll leave it to someone else. But let me urge you along. In this area, as with other Christian graces, you may develop and you may be disciplined in the exercise of this Christian grace, that of encouragement. Just like any other Christian grace, there are certain disciplines of grace that are appropriate to talk about, to pray for this grace to develop, and then to even plan certain ways that you can show encouragement. In the last chapter that we looked at, I gave some practical suggestions for developing thankfulness. Well, here you can take and develop some creative ways that you can develop the practice of encouragement. And he gives Murray gives an example from Tim Challies and his blog on the internet, and gives an example of one of the mechanisms that he used to just develop a pattern or a practice of encouragement. He set an alarm for himself, or an appointment for himself on his calendar, to spend 5 minutes every 2 or 3 days to give encouragement to somebody. Now, some of you are power users of your phone or your computer, Google Calendar. Now, some of you are better at paper calendars. The point is, schedule it. Make some time to be an encouragement to someone. And at first it comes across like you're learning to lift weights or like you're learning to run the 5K. It's hard work as it starts out. And it is a discipline, and it seems a little contrived. Well, it is. But you're giving yourself to something important. Because of that, it's not contrived. It's purposeful. So purpose to show encouragement to someone else. Start with those who are close by to you. Give an encouraging text or phone call to your spouse, to your husband or to your wife. Come alongside your children as they are working hard in their homeschooling or in their classes, and give a word of encouragement. Find somebody in your workplace, in your work group, and without looking for compliments in return, just either write a note or say some encouraging words. And it doesn't take long to do that. And if you schedule it, there is some exercise of the disciplines of grace and of doing something that may seem hard for you at the beginning, but will become more and more natural as you practice that discipline of grace. So encouragers are disciplined is one of the things that that we take to heart. It's part of all of the Christian life. So what about constructive criticism? What about constructive criticism? You may think from this subject that that you should never say anything that is a discouraging word to someone else, that you might never correct. And I hope you know well enough that that's not a biblical position either, that correction is needed, it's appropriate, it is also done for edification. I see some nods. I hope you're understanding. What is the connection between correction and edification? Sure, yeah. If you just keep doing the same thing over and over again and it's done wrong, then you'll keep doing it wrong. So for some of you, you're doing math right now, right? Are you boys doing math in your homeschool? So if you got it in your head that 2 plus 2 was 5, and you kept doing that over and over and over again,
you face the wrath of Dr. Noel.
The professor of math over there might correct you, or your mom might correct your math, right? And then when they correct you, then you do it right the next time. And not only do you get a better score on your test, but when you later go to build bridges, the two ends will meet rather than being off a little bit, because 2 plus 2 equals 5. So correction is a good thing, and is if done well and done graciously, will build you up. Will not have the aim of tearing you down. And so it is appropriate to be involved in constructive criticism or correction. And we're instructed in this way, in fact, in several different scripture places. I'll take a volunteer again to read these verses, Proverbs 9, 8 through 9.
I'll read that.
Thanks, Daniel. Then 1 Thessalonians 5, 11 through 14. Thanks, Adam. So first of all, Proverbs 9, 8 and 9.
Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning.
There's a very healthy view of constructive criticism in this passage. A healthy view that says one who is wise will receive that constructive criticism and will grow wiser still. Correction builds up one who receives that in a Christian way. Now, someone may not receive that, may be a scoffer, and there's some warning there about relationships that if you are not in the right relationship or there's just care and concern that is necessary there, because reproving a scoffer will draw hatred. But I've highlighted this especially to show that correction given well builds up and does not tear down. There's further ways that you can understand your context. I want you to hear 1 Thessalonians 5, 11 through 14.
Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone.
Keep your finger there. I'll have you read one of those verses again. There's a lot in this passage. We began to look at it last week because it says to encourage one another and build one another up. There's that connection between encouragement and edification that you see in the Bible. It goes on to talk about a relationship of those who God sets in your life to care for you, and your attitude towards those people who care for you. And this is something that you can identify in your relationships as a family. And to the children and young people, hear those verses to see your parents as ones that God has set there to encourage you. The call to respect them and to love them because of that. It also talks about your relationship to the church. That the elders are set there for your encouragement and building up. And as you have opportunity to seek counsel or to receive counsel, to esteem that. But then read verse 14 again.
We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone.
There are three different classes of individuals in this. The first is called the unruly. Your translation may say idle. So it says admonish those who are idle or unruly. Encourage who? Encourage what?
The faint-hearted.
Help the who?
Weak.
Help the weak. And there are three different types of individuals that you might come across in your life, and your interaction with them, your encouragement to them may take a variety of different forms. Admonishment, encouragement, and help. It comes to mind that when we confuse these three, that we might come across with a very heavy hand on someone who is just faint-hearted, and or someone who is just weak. And to come across with a critical spirit or with a heavy hand to that one might crush that spirit that is weak or faint-hearted. And instead, what may be needed is a gentle correction or a gentle word, or just coming alongside and putting your arm around their shoulder and praying with that individual, because they probably know even better than you their failings and where they need help. There are some that need a firmer hand. Those who are idle, those who are unruly, and correction for them may need to take a firmer form and still have in mind the building up of of that one. Over all of those, or overarching all of those, is to be patient with them all. So I would encourage you to be discerning in those that you are dealing with, and to learn how to moderate the encouragement that you give based on the situation that you see.
How do you discern that? Because sometimes it seems like heavy hand is needed, and really that just stirs up a hornet's nest. Speaking of disciplined children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a really good application, because in our families, I think children especially need encouragement and correction. They need both of those, and having the right temperament with them and having the right attitude with them is pretty important. For me, I've been helped by the encouragement to discern between what is rebellious and what is childish. A child who accidentally knocks over a glass of milk has maybe been fooling around at the table, maybe acting in a certain way that probably isn't appropriate. And none of you have ever done that, I'm sure. But did I really? And so we say, "Oops," and we clean it up.
It's okay, Mike. We know you were. But,
yeah. But we can fly off the handle at that sometimes, and be very harsh on a situation that has either been an accident, been childish, has risen out of faint-heartedness or weakness. But then there's rebellion, and that calls for something firmer. So if instead of knocking over a glass of milk, someone throws down their glass in anger and stomps out of the room, there's a very different situation, right? And so that calls for something different. Now, that's a pretty easily discernible illustration. And
sometimes you hear the children act out because they're hurt or because they're, weak or whatever. And you really want the heavy hand, but that really doesn't. Really what you're saying is to come alongside them and pray for them.
Yeah.
Be more gentle whenever you really want to be more firm. That's been,
yeah.
I've struggled with that.
I think it takes a lot of listening and trying to work with them to find the root of what's happened there, whether it be out of frustration. You may have maybe a teachable moment to say that wasn't an appropriate way to show your frustration. Rather, you need to learn a mature way to handle those frustrations. So it could be that you come alongside and teach if you can see that there is some frustration there. But don't shy away. Sometimes there is that discipline that is needed. They need the firmness. But all rising out of that heart of love and desire to build them up. Yeah. Some really good stuff in the rest of Murray's book. He gives some guidelines to be very focused and limited, that it's a major on the majors, that you don't just drill down into every little minor detail, this is constructive criticism or correction, supported by evidence, that its aim is building, not demolishing. As I said, really good stuff. Check it out from the church library and read that on your own. Let's bow in prayer as we close. Lord, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, our advocate, who comes alongside us to be our paraclete, the one who stands and mediates for us. Lord, I pray that we would exercise these disciplines ourselves. Where it isn't natural, God, give us the discipline and the desire to build one another up. And help us to plan to do that and put that into practice. And help us to be discerning as well, to know when there's weakness or faint-heartedness and when there is unruliness. And help us to respond accordingly as we want to build up and not tear down. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.